It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We are off and running on this 30th day of October 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that, of course, is where you go if you would like to be part of the madcap, merry, multimedia, zany, wacky, rollicking, real-time extravaganza that is The Horn chat room between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. Once there, once you've picked out a free screen name and a free password, well, by George, you will be immediately greeted by none other than Anatole and Hoghead, Jug of Punch, Ralps, and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has indeed folded space once again to become Man Cave, and all-around great guy and midweek utility pinch hit chat room moderator Steve from Georgia Stan. It's a great time in there. It really, really is. I have a lot of fun. I watch it roll by during the 3 hours of the program, and there's a lot of wit going on in there. So, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the next to last program of October 2017. The last program of October 2017 is, of course, tomorrow, Halloween, the 31st day of October, and this is a listener-supported broadcast effort. Non-commercial in the truest sense of the word. And we try to raise enough money over the course of a month to keep all the bills paid and keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks and the balls in the air and not being... Right, exactly. And toward that end, we try to raise $200 a night. Well, here's where we are. You know, every month we have challenges on the table that give us a little bit of a bump at the end of the month if, in fact, we've met our fundraising goal. These are known colloquially as nudge the Norsky, lick the Lithuanian, and cash the check. Well, if we are to do all of that, we need to raise $380. Add 10 at 38, 38 at 10, 1 at 380, 2 at... One at 380, two at 190, four at 95, oh God, eight at 4750, etc. Because I'm just not up to all the ciphering, but that you get the idea. That's how it works. That being the case. Well, you know, the PayPal interface is over at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. And, you know, if you'd like to become a subscriber on a monthly basis, well, by Jove, all you got to do is click the little box that says make this a recurring monthly donation. Set it and forget it. And you're done. And, well, that would be fine. If you don't like PayPal, we've got a subscription service via Patreon, Patreon.com, Patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. Patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. That comes out on the first day of every month, and that's, again, set it and forget it. But it does. But if you signed up on the 12th or the 23rd or did the 19th, the 6th, what, it's all going to come out on the first of the month. So there's that. Okay. Sorry, doing multiple things here. And if you just want to help out, never mind the subscription, never mind checking the little box, just put in what number, whatever number, you know, you want. And hopefully we'll raise $380. Not because I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to be here tomorrow. But what I would like to do, if it is at all possible, is I would like to do a fundraising free Halloween. Okay? I'd like to go through Halloween tomorrow, last day of the month, with no mention of fundraising whatsoever. And if we raise $380, we can do that. So that's where we are. If we raise it, what, or you know, we can sweat the challenges. We can sweat the Norsky nudging, Lithuanian licking, and check cashing, and hope to God that you know that something big happens tomorrow. I'd really like to not do that. Sorry, it's just how it is. Now, thanks as always go out to our subscribers. Oh yes, indeed. Because it's them, it's the subscribers, the folks over the weekend, alongside our buddy Harold, the president and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, Sotstris, who jumped in to knock down the deficit, as did Kay, and our subscribers, namely Sharon in Ohio. Thank you, Sharon. And thank you very kindly to Smitty. Thank you, Smitty, in Florida. Thanks very much to Philip in Texas and to Charlene in Rhode Island. And, of course, as previously noted, I factored that in to Randy in PA. And so as a result of all of that, we've only got $380 to raise to finish out the month, which would be an awesome thing. Now, a couple of program notes. Like I said, no interruption to the schedule for Halloween, regardless of what fundraising turns out to be. The entire week should be okay. There's a vague chance that, I have to go and pick up Agnes over at the Grandbabies. I have to do that on Friday. Hopefully I'll do that early on Friday morning and be back in time to be in the chair for Friday on the front porch. That's really the only thing that's out there this week. Next week, however, no Bob. As I told you, when I came back from Washington, D.C., there was a good chance that I would have to be going back, and our efforts are coming to fruition. We're going to be presenting a briefing we're going to be presenting a briefing on the suppressed science of mountaintop removal. And as a consequence, I'll be driving to D.C. on Monday and be returning on Friday. And if everything works, I know it didn't work last time, but if everything works out okay, then I will be here in the chair a week from Friday evening. So I'll miss Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay? This is a great chance for us to build more momentum for the Appalachian Community's Health Emergency Campaign and more particularly for the Appalachian Community's Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. And toward that end, all I can tell you is it's necessary. And no matter how many times I say it, please understand, this ain't a vacation. This is not a good time. this is hard-ass work that starts at about 5 o'clock in the morning and finishes about 7 o'clock at night. On the other hand, however, and I'll be tweeting about it and Facebooking and so forth as we get nearer to it, you should know that if you want to see people talking about the suppressed science, the science that the Trump administration doesn't want anyone to know, then we will be sending out, probably from multiple accounts, we'll be sending out Facebook video and Periscope so that people can see it who want to. And with any luck at all, well, we will build a greater quantum of knowledge of exactly what is being done to people here in the Appalachian Sacrifice Zone in the name of corporate profits for people who don't live anywhere near here. So again, I'm gone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. If you would like to use the advance time to reach out to your members of the United States Senate or your member of the House of Representatives to ask them to, in the case of the House, sign on to H.R. 786, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, or over in the Senate, tell them that it's damned well past time. Don't probably not swear. But tell them it's past time that the Senate started acknowledging the reality of what's being done in Appalachia and as well take steps to remedy it. Okay? So that's next week. Now, that's 4 days of down fundraising. Hopefully, maybe with November 1, 2, and 3, maybe we'll try to double up this week to make sure that everything is not as bad as it could be. If we did double fundraising Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, then that would leave only one day, and maybe we could make up 2 days on Friday a week from Friday, and still be to the good in November. So that's everything that's going on here in the fairly near future. A technical note. I spent the weekend here in the studio fiddling and tweaking with the audio settings. And I'm trying to, we're not profligate with our equipment here. I'm trying to get another couple of years out of a couple of 12-year-old pieces of equipment. And with that in mind, hopefully we will. So I've fiddled and tweaked and played with knobs and scratched my head a lot and yelled, check, check, well, not yelled, but check, 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 1-2, 1-2, mic, check, check, 1-2, until I can say it in my sleep. And hopefully things are, if not awesome, somewhat better. So just... because I get the emails, Bob, you're too loud. Yeah, that's the thing. I get emails saying, Bob, you're too loud. Bob, you're clipping. Bob, you're crackly. And I get those on the same day that I get other emails from other people saying, oh, I can't hear you. So it's a little it's a little crazy making. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. All that having been said, of course. The 30th day of October 2017 falls, of course, on a Monday. And we all know what Mondays mean here at the Horn. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we do.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up, step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, the dulcet tones of the Calliope call you a few simple steps away from the Carnival Midway to this thin cybernetic veil of canvas that stands between you and abject right-wing moranity. We've got them all, friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, kiddies and cousins. We've got each and every kind and variety and sort and type of moran that you could possibly wish to be not exposed to. They expose themselves in the next tent over after the Moran Monday show. No, but it's all here, right here for you. We've got them. The birthers, the deathers, the ninthers, the tenthers, the baggers, the birchers, the booger eaters, the Trumpanzees, maggots all, Republicans all, libertarians. Oh, yes, we've got them right here in the Moran Monday tent. You know, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Any way you slice it, though, it's a real bargain getting inside the Moran Monday tent, because for less than 16 cents per hour of programming for an average $10 contributor per month, and what, by Graptar's hammer, what a savings. Well, by golly, you've got all the Morans that your little heart could ever possibly desire. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. A quick advisory, if you're coming into the Moran Monday tent, make sure you keep a close watch on and even a hand on wallets, children, pets, bags, purses, backpacks, knapsacks, and even that iguana that you won just a little bit ago throwing ping pong balls at fish bowls over on the Midway. As well as, of course, European messenger bags, because after all, they're conservatives, they're right-wingers, they're morons, and they can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, that's where we find ourselves this evening, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, kiddies and cousins. And, well, where to start? Well, oh, goodness me. Before we go any further, however, I have a question for you. It takes a lot of fortitude sometimes to wander into the Moran Monday tent, and thus I ask you, have you tried sweaty swamp cabbage? That's right, sweaty swamp cabbage from Horn Labs. A proprietary blend of organic, free-range, GMO-free, gluten-free, cruelty-free swamp cabbage. Dried lovingly and tenderly. And then ground and packed into little vegan gelatin capsules. Oh yes, oh yes. Sweaty swamp cabbage from Horn Labs. It'll put the swamp in your step. It'll make you feel positively cabbageous. If you doubt me, just try it. Remember, only $29.95 for a month's supply, only $61 for a 2 month supply, and $92 for a 3 month supply. Because, well, it's an absolute bullshit product. Another bullshit product. From Horn Labs, sweaty swamp cabbage, your key to a healthy, happy, nutritious swamp cabbage experience. Sweaty swamp cabbage, only from Horn Labs. Accept no substitutes, post no bills, use no hooks this side up. CODFOB. Sweaty swamp cabbage from Horn Labs. You know, I've never much cared for swamp cabbage. And that's why, to this day, I can only get my nutritional swamp cabbage allowance by taking sweaty swamp cabbage capsules from Horn Labs. And if you act now, well, we'll send you a little bundle of bullshit test strips so that you can make sure that, just as I'm telling you here, sweaty swamp cabbage capsules have absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever. Sweaty Swamp Cabbage from Horn Labs. Just remember, you can't be a real broadcast operation unless you've got a bullshit nutritional supplement to sell. That's why every evening we have a new bullshit nutritional supplement for you here at the Horn. Well, I understand. I understand. Ron and Raleigh said, I thought we were going to drain the swamp. Well, what do you think you're left with when you do? That's right. Head after head after head of wet, slippery, slimy, sweaty swamp cabbage. We don't just do things around here. Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, this is really weird. By the way, sweaty swamp cabbage, absolutely meaningless. But nonetheless, I wanted to make sure you had that. Okay, so we're gonna get into our morality here in a minute. But for some reason, Skype is being weird, and I want to sort this out before it becomes a problem later in the program. Okay, so we're going to quit. Because it's showing me notifications. People are messaging me, and, you know, we got to have the messages. For some reason, I can't see the massages. And so we've stopped, and we will reopen. Well, there we go. Okay, now I've got my messages. Excellent. Excellent. Ah, yes, okay. Brother Deacon Asa wants to know, tell me this, O sage of Appalachia, does sweaty swamp cabbage help combat the troubles with Peter Johnson's standing among society? Well, you know how you get after it's sweaty, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Naturally, sweaty swamp cabbage from Horn Labs will be a real boon to the, you know, bone. Right. Yeah, see, Brother Deacon Asa understands. How's the Horn supposed to stay afloat if there are no nutritional supplements to hustle? Right. Yes, as a matter of fact, it does. Devin wants to know, does sweaty swamp cabbage come in a cream form for sweaty swamp crotch? Abso-damn-lutely. Because it's an imaginary product, and consequently, sweaty swamp cabbage can come any way you want it to come. I'm probably going to regret phrasing that way. Well. Just the same. And so, there we go. But Morans. Yes, we were talking about Morans. Steve in New York starts out with a message called, it says, anti-Moran. We've had such a bumper crop of Morans for 9 months. With a bit of good news today, I'd like to nominate Mr. Mueller as an anti-Moran today. And I think that's a lovely idea. Anti-Moran, Robert Mueller. But wherever, you know, it's particle physics, people. Wherever there's an anti-Moran, that means that there must be a covalent, that's the word I'm looking for, isn't it? Moran on the other side. And sometimes I think the universe gets itself in the trouble it gets in because we've got far more Morans than we do anti-Morans. And so let's just deal with the obvious right off the bat and deal with the anti-Moran in, or the Moran in chief, namely, you know, Comrade Kumquat. And then we've got some others. But a lot of it centers on this. Sometime shortly after the announcement here on Mueller Monday, which a lot of people seem to have been treating a lot like Christmas. I admit, I placed a long shot bet on Jeff Sessions. I lost my bet. But I like to think that the possibility is still out there. Because, frankly, there's lots of possibilities still out there. But nonetheless, there was Tangerine Tiberius with his Twitter in hand. Even that sounds creepy, doesn't it? Yes, it does. To declare that there's nothing there, nothing to see here. No, absolutely not. Oh, yes, there was. There so was. Eight hours ago, Donald J. Trump tweeted, "Sorry, but this is years ago, before Paul Manafort was part of the Trump campaign. But why aren't crooked Hillary and the Dems the focus?" Well, because crooked Hillary, as you like to call her, isn't the president. And probably more importantly than that, she's not crooked, and she didn't commit any crimes, no matter how bizarrely you tweet and howl. And an hour after, it took him an hour to come up with this after the first, that tweet. An hour later, he said, ... Also, there is no collusion. As if this stupid bastard even had the first freaking clue what collusion means. Yeah, collusion's what you do when you want to get together and rub some emoluments on each other. Yeah, that there's your collusion. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, the Manafort stuff came out. Yeah, right. Yeah, but then came the knowledge, the announcement that rather a while back, a man named George Papadopoulos, and I don't know why, but I immediately thought about the fake ID that Rusty used in National Lampoon's Las Vegas Vacation, Mr. Papa Giorgio, and for a minute there I was worried about Rusty. George Papadopoulos was a part of the Trump campaign, and he was the one who thought it would be a lovely idea to set up a meeting between the Trump campaign and, you know, the Russians to try to get dirt on Hillary. So while Marcus Aurelius tweets away about, also, no collusion, well, that's collusion. And so he entered a guilty plea to lying to the Thebes. And that was a while back. Here's the fun part. That probably means that in the interim afterward, he's probably been catching up with a lot of old friends from the Trump campaign. Hi, yeah, it's George. George. George Papadopoulos. You remember? Yeah, we talked about getting that meeting together with the Russians to dig up dirt on Hillary. Yeah. And you know what? Every word he says is being, what am I looking for? Oh, yeah, recorded. There are a lot of people in Washington, D.C., and other places as well, who are busily trying to remember the last time they talked to their old buddy George and what they talked about, why, for how long. Yeah. I'll bet he's, well, it's one of those situations where he's just glad he's got unlimited minutes on the cell phone plan there. Because I'll bet there's been a lot of minutes. Sort of explains, and I don't pay much attention to him because he's a turd, but it sort of explains why Roger Stone completely lost what was left of his tiny, tiny, evil mind Friday night on Twitter, tweeting a lengthy string of obscenities at, among others, Don Lemon over at CNN. Wonder when the last time old Raj chatted up George Papadopoulos was. only Roger and George and maybe the FISA court and a few other FBI types know the answer to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Ron points out, hey, Bob, if they deign to send Mr. Manafort to the Hooskow, at least he'll be able to sharpen up his golf and tennis game at some club fed. Any money on a forfeiture and a fine? jails are not for people like Paul Manafort. Those are for real criminals. You know, like 10-year-old cerebral palsy patients who need gallbladder surgery and are immediately thrown into detention as soon as they get the lines and hoses out of her. That's who detention's for. Manafort turned himself in today and was immediately and lovingly granted a reasonable bail and sent home with a shiny new ankle bracelet to put on that'll keep him from, you know, taking off for Mother Russia, where he has so many dear, dear friends. Oh, there's just tentacles all over the place. Never mind an octopus. This is kind of like all those stingy things that suspend in the ocean waters down below a Portuguese man-of-war jellyfish colony. Lots and lots and lots of little tentacles, and they're all poisonous. There's going to be, Steve, I'm sorry. No, they didn't take Paul Manafort to Burger King today. He's a white guy, so I don't really know why. Maybe they took him to the Palm Steakhouse in D.C. It's rather, yeah, I hear the filet mignon there is fabulous. Mm-hmm. But this is the fun, the real tucked away fun part. Oh, wait a second. Note coming from GK, subject line, fake news. The Trumpers obviously have never heard about the great Clinton penis hunt that grew out of the Whitewater investigation by porn king Ken Starr. Well, here is that. Because this being More and Monday, well, here's a fun one. From the Daily Caller, that sad and pathetic right-wing gossip scandal sheet run by what? Tucker Carlson? Is that his outfit? That badly, desperately wants to be on a par, a sleaze par with that website that rhymes with light and fart. I mean, if you want more, Ann, check this out. This is by some guy named Peter Flaherty. More than anything else, the indictments of Paul Manafort and his partner Rick Gates demonstrate the fraudulent nature of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. The probe has little to do with Russian interference in last year's election. Instead, it is calculated to protect Mueller and a cabal within the FBI and Justice Department who covered up crimes by Hillary Clinton! Because they believed it was likely that she would be elected president. Yeah, okay. You'd almost swear from what old Pete here has to say that he knows exactly what the prosecutorial strategy of Robert Mueller is, and he's got some sort of inside skinny on who's being investigated, all of which is absolutely not true. But the wagons, they are a-circling. Because Republicans do what Republicans do. And they will defend a brother or sister Republican to the death, no matter how many crimes were committed. But what Ron said earlier in his email is true. I wouldn't look for Manafort to get too sweaty about all of this. Because, frankly, he's a man with a lot of money. And a lot of money will buy you a lot of justice. Now, somewhere in the archives of this program, there is a discussion of what happened after the indictment of old Scooter Libby. Old Scooter! Including the letters to the judge that were written by Mary Madeline and James Carville, talking about what a fine feller old Scooter is, and how the children always wondered, is Mr. Scooter coming over today? No, really, they did that. James Carville went to bat for Scooter Libby when he was due to be sentenced for outing a CIA agent. Right? Remember that? Because I do. I know. I'm funny that way. Here's the thing, though. Like I said, a lot of money buys a lot of justice. And there is no way, and see, I think it would maybe be a good thing if there was. There's no way that there's anything that Paul Manafort did or could have done that would expose him to incarceration at, say, the federal Supermax facility in Florence, Colorado. No. You know, under the worst of all possible circumstances, you know what Paul Manafort's looking at? Ashland, Kentucky. Minimum security. Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama. Or maybe that place in California where Don Blankenship went after he was convicted of a misdemeanor involving evading safety regulations that wound up incinerating 29 human beings. Because in the federal, in the grand scheme of the federal view of things like evading safety regulations for coal miners, it's just a misdemeanor if you evade them and incinerate 29 human beings. Now, if Don Blankenship, on the other hand, had if it had been possible to prove that he had defrauded shareholders, then he would have been facing a felony there. Yeah, right. Steve from Georgia Stan says, not to sound like a little ray of fucking sunshine, but it will probably be at least until 2019 until this is untangled and wrapped up. I don't know that. I'm not so sure. Mueller has to work fast. at least in terms of legal in the legal system fast, because he could be fired at any moment. This fact was confirmed by Sarah Huckabee earlier today when she said that the White House is fully cooperating with Mr. Mueller and has no intention of firing him. That's basically White House code for he should probably be cleaning out his desk. At least that's what I think it is, because whatever it's been my experience that whatever they say, the exact opposite is true. But I get what you mean. Yeah, oh no, we're on this roller coaster for a while. But then again, on January the 20th, 2017, we knew that we'd gotten on hell's own roller coaster and the little son of a bitch was going to be running for four solid years. Oh, yeah, I know. The hopeless optimists out there were, oh, well, you know, Trump will do what he does and he'll decide he doesn't like it and then he'll resign. And I just can't see him making it till next year. Well, it's almost next year. Well, I can't see him making it halfway through his term. Well, he's almost halfway through halfway of his term. Well, you know, I don't see him making it all the way to 2021, or I don't see him running. I want to be really, 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 really wrong about it. I want to take calls from all over the world, you know, after Donald Trump, you know, resigns a week before Christmas or the night before Christmas and gives us all Christmas present. I want to get on the air and just take calls from all over the world. Ha, Bob, damn, you sure were wrong about that. Yeah, look how he quit. I want that to happen. I yearn for that for the sake of our country. I do. But, no, Manafort, he doesn't have that much exposure. Because no matter what he does, he's not going to feel the full weight of the prison industrial complex descending upon his very, very, very wealthy shoulders. Mm-mm. Now, does that mean he has no incentive whatsoever to roll over on Trump? Not necessarily. Because it's interesting that one of the charges that's contained in the indictment is something called conspiracy against the United States of America. It certainly does sound grave, doesn't it? Well, probably because it is. Now, I did a quick scan read of the indictment. And the thing about conspiracy charges, as Billable Rick could certainly tell us, the thing about conspiracy charges is that you cannot have a one-man conspiracy. There are a couple of essential elements to any conspiracy. One of which is that there be an agreement between two or more people to commit an illegal act that they know is illegal. After that, you've got to have somebody inside the conspiracy taking what the law calls a substantial step in furtherance of it. So that means that there was more than one person involved in the dirty business that Paul Manafort was allegedly involved in. There's also a judicial preference. Now, once upon a time, the government would would identify what they called unindicted co-conspirators. In point of fact, Richard Nixon, in an indictment, was once named as an unindicted co-conspirator. But there have been developments in the law since in which the courts have made clear that they prefer not to have people named as unindicted co-conspirators because it's sort of like, it feels a little unfair. Because you basically allege that somebody is involved in criminal conduct, but you just haven't indicted them. Oh, well, oopsie. And so the Department of Justice guidelines say that you don't want to do that. And so toward the end that Bob Mueller appears to be a real dot all the T's and cross all the I's kind of guy, then they didn't, that wasn't there. But golly Moses, just consider the implications of that conspiracy charge. Pretty, pretty heady stuff. So what does this all mean? It means that this is, among other things, way far from over. That this is the front end. I mean, this isn't even, this is certainly not the beginning of the end. And there's every reason in the world to think it's not even the end of the beginning. There's more coming. For all we know, there could be another indictment tomorrow. There could be one on Friday. Because there's still what Billable Rick referred to on Friday as a target-rich environment out there. Consider, if you will, the mention, Rick Gates, the other guy who got indicted, he was a business associate of Paul Manafort. And just because those two people were indicted does not mean that they were the only members of the conspiracy, either. But Gates, if I understand correctly, was a sort of bagman. And some of what he did, for instance, had to do with a bank in the on the island of Cyprus. Old crusader holdout and so forth that it was. When the Christians finally lost the Crusades, one of the last places they held on to was Cyprus. And of course, over the years, every now and then the Greek population of Cyprus decides to get testy with the Turkish population, and the Turkish population decides to get testy back, and then we have some war. But they've also got enough stability to have a couple of banks there. The Bank of Cyprus, in fact, apparently does rather a lot of business. And among other things, one of the people they've done a lot of business with and via and through, and because, he's got a lot of influence over there. You might even say ownership interest, or at least a board interest, is, lo and behold, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. How's about that, sports fans? Yeah, kind of interesting, isn't it? Especially in light of that there, conspiracy charge. Hey, you remember Jay Sekulow? Had himself, he had a couple of hissies, and he got, he's identified as Donald Trump's personal attorney. Well, some booker over at CNN got hold of him and said, hey, you want to come on and talk on CNN? And apparently he said, well, sure, why not? Well, it turned out to be a rather interesting conversation with CNN's Wolfblitz, in which he argued that, what George Papadopoulos did, it's kind of, no big deal. Yeah, right, yeah, sure.
Let's talk about George Papadopoulos, who's now pled guilty. He was arrested over the summer. How worried are you that his involvement in the campaign, working with national security advisors to the then candidate Donald Trump, and also establishing these contacts with Russians who had information, supposedly dirt, on Hillary Clinton, that could set the stage for what the special counsel Robert Mueller is looking into, possible collusion?
I'm not concerned.
Isn't it charming, though, along the way, just to know that, like, when the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, that you can always count on Wolf Blitzer to work Hillary Clinton into a conversation somewhere along the way. He's got Clinton Tourette's or something.
With Russians who had information, supposedly dirt, on Hillary Clinton, that could set the stage for what the special counsel Robert Mueller is looking into, possible collusion.
I'm not concerned about it because if you look at what, again, George Papadopoulos' plea is, what the actual plea that he entered into was, again, a false statement about a timing as to when he talked to somebody about Russian activities. It wasn't by...
Yeah, it's just timing. Okay, here's what the timing is. It was he said that the false statement he made was that his attempts to work through this professor, this intermediary to dig up dirt on Hillary Clinton, that was before he was part of the campaign. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what the false statement was. That was the lie, because he did it while he was working for the Trump campaign. Which, contrary to whatever this evangelical weirdo Sekulow says, that's kind of a big deal. He's inside the campaign, he's working for the campaign, and I guess what? He was just a loose cannon, he was just a free agent, just out there sort of doing stuff? I agree. Ron and Raleigh says, what we need here, by God, is a blue dress. Mm-hmm. Procedural question coming from Steve from Georgistan. I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on the radio. But, I did have that cup of coffee in law school. Aren't there 12 counts for each one charged? That means that each count could require discovery, hearings, motions to suppress. No. Motions to suppress, motions to dismiss, all of that will require lengthy red tape litigation. Well, no. You deal with the case. You deal with the case as the case is. You don't bring a motion to dismiss count one, and then 6 months later you bring a motion to dismiss count two. If you've got motions to dismiss, they have to be pled, and they have to be more or less pled simultaneously. Unless, there are always exceptions to the rule, but no. Here's the giveaway, though. How much does Mueller, this is the giveaway question, how much does Mueller have to give away? See, this is one of the problems that goes back. Once upon a time, Article 3 federal judges had absolute discretion on sentencing. But then the Congress decided that, no, Congress knows better about cases than actual federal judges hearing those cases. So they passed these things called sentencing guidelines. And they're like a bizarre form of a Chinese restaurant menu where there's lots of different columns, and there's column A and column B and column C, and you can get one from column A and three column C. But if you get the one from column C, you have to go to E. Oh, look, we're at E. That means we've got to double back to B. And it gets bizarre, and there are departures upward and downward. It's a bunch of shit is what it is, really. And it's, among other things, it was racist in its inception, because it's the means by which federal judges have been forced to incarcerate, unfairly, I would argue, a whole lot of nonviolent drug offenders who just happen to have a high melanin content in their skin. See how it works? There's not going to be a lot of wiggle room there. And so I think Manafort is a starting place, but he's not the one ultimately, I doubt if he's going to be the one who winds up rolling on the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. It just doesn't feel that way. Make no mistake, I'm not diminishing at all from the import and the gravity of what happened here. This is kind of a shot across the bow. Between this and the Papadopoulos plea, what you have is a warning, not so subtly presented, to Donald Trump that Mueller is deadly in earnest on this. The Cyprus bank thing may wind up being huge. And if it nabs Wilbur Ross, I will be happy as a clam, because no justice was ever served on Wilbur Ross for the 12 people who got blown to pieces inside the Sago mine in West Virginia. Not even a misdemeanor for evading regulations. He didn't even get the Blankenship treatment. Mm-hmm. So we've got that. I hope I've answered your question, Steve. I mean, it's gonna take. And you know what? The whole purpose of all the discovery and the motions and the suppressions and the dismisses and everything is to let each side see the strength of the case. And somewhere along the way, plea bargains will be offered. More than likely, unless Manafort... And remember, they've got him dead to rights, okay? They've got him on tape. Because, of course, all of these are sketchy dalliances with foreign governments, and not just foreign governments, but foreign governments inimical to the interests of the United States. So bear that in mind. Back to Jay and Wolf.
The way these weren't activities that were illegal. It wasn't the conversation that they had. There's nothing in there that says that conversation was illegal or inappropriate or whatever it might have been. You look at what he said to the agent, and evidently, I don't represent Mr. Papadopoulos, but it's statements that he made to the agents that they're saying these allegations in the plea, and he's now pled guilty to.
As far as you know, the contacts he had while he was a national security advisor to the candidate, Donald Trump, the contacts he had with these Russians were authorized by the campaign.
Now, let me say this. First of all, George Papadopoulos served on a committee. A lot of, as you know, campaigns have committees with various people on it. He was not a senior advisor to the Trump campaign. He was on a committee.
His contacts were authorized by senior advisors, according to the affidavit.
Yeah, according to the affidavit. So here's what that is in and of itself, a conversation that someone would have regarding a foreign government, whether it was Great Britain, Russia, or anybody else. Those are not illegal activities. I mean, that's not an inappropriate activity. I mean, it's again, where did he get in trouble? Was it the call that he made to the professor? No, that was the Russian professor. No, that wasn't what got him in trouble. That's not where the crime was. The crime was lying about the timing of it to the agent. So again, you know, Wolf, I don't represent him, so I don't want to give any kind of statement as to his culpability or knowledge. I'm just telling you from our perspective, from
as far as the president's
private lawyer. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, please remember something. Papadopoulos is being pitched as being, you know, just some schmuck, you know. I just showed up. He wanted to volunteer for the campaign. We gave him a MAGA hat. You know, we sent him on his way. No. It was March of 2016 when the Marmalade Mugabe said, George Papadopoulos is an excellent guy. He's one of my key national security advisors. Really? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because, see, some of this stems from the fact that Donald Trump has never been any good at anything he's done. He is a hollow man. He is, to use the words of John Kelly, the ultimate empty barrel. He's a big drum. But he only makes a noise when he's thumped. He's incapable. Please, you know, remember, this is a guy who went bankrupt running a casino. I'm an English major. I couldn't go bankrupt running a casino. Neither could you. Donald Trump went bankrupt running a casino. Donald Trump is so far in debt, and he has burnt so many bridges because he is such a skeevy operator, that no money lending institutions in the United States would touch him, and that's why he went, you know, afield, looking for other financing options. Just saying. But now, suddenly, they've never heard of him. Even though there are, you know, photographs of Trump sitting at a table with George Papadopoulos. He was in the middle of the table. As a matter of fact, United States, soon to be United States Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, on March the 31st, 2016, was at the opposite end of the table from Donald Trump. And George Papadopoulos, with maybe a little bit of symbolism, was seated halfway between the two of them. Never heard of the guy. Who? What? No. Now, if you want the absolute best in bullshit deflection, well, you really just can't beat former presidential candidate, former Arkansas governor, pastor, brother, minister, Mike Huckabee's daughter, Sarah. You really can't. She is in so far over her head. And at this point in time, she's bound to be beginning to worry about when
you know, when it's going to touch her. Because she's already admitted that she comes out and she just lies. She said, my job is to say whatever the president wants me to say. That's a hell of a note. It's not really what her job is, but still, you get the idea. So let's take a minute. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Maybe we'll do this. We'll do this after the break. Note coming in from Ron. In the autumnal splendor of the still not frozen North. As much as I'm a fan of Trump impeachment, I wish the thought of it happening filled my heart with greater joy than I currently feel. Consider the order of succession: Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Orrin Hatch, Steve Mnuchin, Rexxon Tillerson, and then James Mattis. The only glimmer of good news is that Rick Perry, number 15, trails Ben Carson, number 13, with a bullet. How's that old story go? It's turtles all the way down. Or maybe just the first syllable of turtles. I understand that. But two things, Ron. The first being that, well, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, Mike Pencilneck geek doesn't exactly have clean hands in all of this. In fact, he's probably up to his helmet-like hair in the whole Russia scandal. So he might wind up going too. Who knows? Maybe it'll be an Agnew situation and he'll go first. Maybe it won't be women that he shouldn't have been dining with, but people involved in trying to sell his country to the Russians that he shouldn't have been dining with. Wouldn't that be deliciously ironic? And two, and this is something our buddy Joy pointed out a while back. It's sort of immaterial. When we're talking about the fate of the Constitution and thus the fate of the Republic, if a man has violated his presidential oath to defend the Constitution, if he has shown himself to be a four-square crook, then it becomes incumbent, if the Constitution is to stand, that you got to get rid of him. And you've got to do it regardless of whatever is underneath him. And so, and doubly so, I think, if instead of impeachment we're talking about the 25th Amendment. And as between the two, I think the 25th Amendment has the greater chance because it allows Mike Pencilneck Geek to listen to the dulcet whisperings of what he perceives to be Almighty God, telling him that he has anointed him to be the president so that he can save the precious little fetuses. So I'm not going to get that worked up about it. Plus, it would probably, you know, and we're in the realm of high theory at this point. It would probably, if something like impeachment or the 25th Amendment were to happen, it would grind this miserable, good-for-nothing, dangerous Congress to a halt. You know, they still haven't reauthorized CHIP. Do you know there's other stuff that's coming up for reauthorization that they really probably have no, it isn't even in the backs of their minds, such as they have? Like the federal flood insurance program? It comes up for reauthorization in December. Yeah. So my only point here is that maybe, just maybe, we have to deal with the cards we've been dealt. And maybe Mike Pencilneck Geek, for all of his flaws, might at least have a vague comprehension of how government works and the fact that one does not have to use nukes for those nukes to be useful. You can't say the same thing about Donald Trump. What's the point in having nuclear weapons if you can't use them? Jesus. coming from Steve, two things. First of all, everyone is a low-level employee. That begs the question if anyone actually ran the campaign. Second of all, here's the juiciest part of the Manafort thing. If he pardons Manafort, then Mueller or anyone else can compel Manafort to testify because he can't plead the fifth because he's not in danger of self-incrimination. And the best part? If he refuses to testify, he's in civil contempt, and the court can order him to sit in jail until he testifies or until the end of time, whichever comes first. Steve says, something tells me Mueller took this exact thing into account in doing what he did. Bob Manafort is the gatekeeper. Remember, Manafort was campaign manager longer than racist Bannon was. Just bear that in mind. Manafort is the one who can drop the dime on Junior, you know, Uday. He can drop the dime on Jared. Shit, he can probably drop the dime on Ivanka. And if they told Trump what they were up to, he can drop the dime on him too. That's all true. The question that I had is does Manafort have enough exposure to provide him the incentive to do that? And maybe we have our answer here from Steve in New York. Civil contempt, and he sits in jail until he either testifies and spills his guts or until the heat death of the sun, whichever comes first. That's the thing about contempt in the handy-dandy little sayings of the law. A contemnor holds the keys to his own cell. So it's 13 minutes past the hour. If you want to engage in some conversation, I'm game for that. How about you? If you want to reach the program, maybe you're new to the program, well, hey, jump in. The phone number is area code 304-574-8178. Because, you know, we don't do the 800 number thing anymore, because just about everybody has... Well, long-distance toll charges have largely gone the way of the dodo. 304-574-8178. One of these days, we'll raise another $500 or so, and we'll put in a new phone box, and we'll have two phone lines, plus Skype, from anywhere on earth. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, and that'll get you in. Okay, so there's that. And then... Finally, you know, email, Twitter, all of that. And we are an hour and 14 minutes into the program. We have $380 to raise. And we are at, yeah, let me check here. Oh, yeah, zero. So if we're gonna have a fundraising-free Halloween for lots of fun, and I like that. I'd like to set up a way somehow where there's kind of an incentive, no fundraising. You know, if we'd finished fundraising over the weekend completely, we'd have a fundraising free Monday and Tuesday. And wouldn't that be fun? So we've got $380 to go. Let's take a break. As Ron and Raleigh pointed out, nothing approaching significant enough mention was made of the passing of a musical great. Namely, Fats Domino at 89. As Ron notes, one of the most prolific songwriters and performers of the rock and roll era. So yeah, a little long distance dedication going out to Donald Trump, out to and Paul Manafort and Rick Gates and yes, George Papadopoulos and probably Udi and Cootie too and Jared and the whole hee-haw gang up there in Washington D.C. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. We'll be back. I'm Bob.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play.
Man, if you were feeling a little drowsy or anything, you are wide awake now. Blue Monday from the late, great Fats Domino, and courtesy of courtesy by suggestion of Ron and Raleigh. So 18 minutes past the hour on this Moran Monday. I think we covered some pretty good Moran territory in the first hour and 14 or 15 minutes of the program. Let's run over to the phones and check in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
It's Tracy. You know, you're not going to believe me, but I was thinking of you earlier today.
Well, you know, as soon as Jan woke me up this morning screaming about Manafort being indicted, I mean, I've never seen somebody, it was like with pixie-like glee.
Pixie-like glee. Wait a minute. Is Jan pixie-like very often?
No.
Well, see, then that's what makes it even more special.
Yeah, I mean, she was, after watching last night's Royal Series game, because, you know, it was such a back-and-forth game last night. So she was screaming, "Go Dodgers!"
This has been a hell of a World Series.
It has been. I've even watched it. I didn't watch last night because I couldn't deal with it because it was. And then after they let that asshole play, even though when he did that racist slant eye thing with his eyes, that I, you know, oh, well, we're going to suspend it for 5 games in the regular series. Fuck that.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll suspend him some other time that's not the World Series.
That's not the World Series. Oh, because we don't want it to do this. And, of course, his run last night was one that the run that tied the game yesterday. And so Jan was beside herself with that, you know, because she was, you know, with me on that. And I think a whole lot of other people. And that was so wrong. And just the fact that they're still letting him play. It's like, I'm so tired. What is happening with this world, with this country? Is it just me, or are you tired of people being rewarded for bad behavior?
Yeah, I'm sick of it, but I'm also, I guess, I hate to say, cynically inured to it. There's a certain class of people who, no matter how many shitty things they do, get a pass. I mean, and you can sort of go cross-cultural with it, Tracy. You can look at... I mean, talk about passes. It's probably the wrong time to mention Harvey Weinstein, because those went well past passes. But
yeah,
he was protected. And then the Kevin Spacey story breaks.
Right.
And that's really gross.
My question is, who did not know that Kevin Spacey was gay? Come on.
Kevin Spacey's mom? I don't know. But I mean, forgive me. I mean, we're going to go into the. That's some chutzpah. You get charged with being really disgusting with an underage boy,
and then you're going to say I'm gay.
And that's the platform you use for coming out.
Thank you, really, motherfucker. Is how many times is it that, you know, people blame gay men for doing things to teenage boys? And then your happy ass, oh, I'm a gay man, so that excuses the fact that I was messing with a 14-year-old boy? What?
I know.
It's like, you know, every time, you know, because I love me some Kevin Spacey. But now he
is an undeniably brilliant actor, okay? But I got to thinking earlier today.
Bad taste in the mouth.
Isaac shared a clip today on my Twitter feed, and it's weird how all of our little cultural horrors get hidden inside cartoon series that run on Fox, because lo and behold, there's a clip of Stewie from The Family Guy running across a room hollering, "Help me, I've been abducted by Kevin Spacey."
Oh, shit.
And, of course, Seth MacFarlane was the one who said at the Oscars a few years back, "Congratulations, ladies. These 5 women now no longer have to pretend to be interested, to be turned on, attracted to Harvey Weinstein."
Harvey Weinstein.
So somehow or another, like Seth MacFarlane's got his ear to the ground.
But again, like you say, it tickles me, but really saddens me that all of a sudden everybody in Hollywood. I mean, yes, I live in Hollywood.
Well, I mean, right, but I mean,
and they're all up in arms. It's like they act like this shit has not been going on since movies have been movies.
Well, there are clues. I mean, what was the name? I was trying to think all day. What was the name of Kevin Spacey's character in The Usual Suspects? Wasn't it Anal Gimp or something like that?
It was something like that. You know, because he turned out to be Kaiser. Now we gotta Google this shit.
And you know, I got a note coming in from Steve in New York. I'm a gay man, but I can safely say I've never even feathered my eyebrows at anyone under 18. And
exactly,
and that's I presume that to be the truth for the vast majority of gay men, and yet here we've got the Kevin Spacey story, but I want to sort of loop back for a minute. Do you remember the thing that got Milo Yiannopoulos' book contract canceled and got him in such hot water?
Oh, the things that he was saying about young boys and...
And how he was a horny young gay boy and it was perfectly okay for his priest to come on to him?
Right. Oh.
And that is some, that's some chilly shit. So, I saw a tweet from Wanda Sykes earlier today. It was something like, no. Kevin Spacey, you do not get to come out and hide under the rainbow.
Get him, Wanda.
Okay. Verbal quint.
Verbal. Well,
okay, I was close. I'm just sorry. Yeah.
Well, he was a gimp. That's a horrible thing to say.
Well, didn't they refer to him as a gimp in the
Yeah, they referred to him as the gimp because he talked, and they called him verbal because he talked too much.
Yeah. So it, and Silent R. Lamar says, "Does Rock Hudson ring a bell?" Sure. And just think.
Okay, let's get real ugly about Hollywood, and just think back when Hollywood had so much control over the press, and how much shenanigans got taken, how much shenanigans were swept under the carpet then. I mean, did you ever see that movie, which is one of my favorite movies, Postcards from the Edge, with Meryl Streep and Shirley MacLaine?
Oh, sure.
And she talks about how she's in a meeting with Louis B. Mayer, and he's talking to her while he's sitting on the toilet, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like, really?
Well, it's kind of a throwback to concepts of royalty. You know, his royal ministers and the courtiers and everything used to show, they had to be up and dressed and ready by the time Louis the 14th got up, because they all went and sat around and watched him take the first dump of the morning. Sorry, let's see. 7:27 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The program has immediately run.
It's only 4:30 here. So.
Yeah, well, we're halfway into the program, and the program is in the gutter.
It's already in the gutter. But no, I like I said, when Jan jumped up this morning screaming about Manafort, I mean, I haven't seen her that excited except for last night while she was watching the Dodger game. Which was Rob. Like I said, that asshole hadn't been able to allow to play. He shouldn't have been allowed to play. But this, the whole thing about what's going on in Hollywood, what's going on with, just like you said, this pass. It's like we're going to Disneyland. It's like when we go to, Dan and I have season passes, which means we can go to Disneyland anytime we want to. There's all these different levels of passes at Disneyland. There's four different levels. And we went ahead and got the big kahuna of the passes, so there's no blackout dates and none of that. So are there different level of passes now? Do you get a pass? Because if you're a black man, well, look and see. Because Bill Cosby's not getting any passes.
Well, hey, you mentioned, yeah, okay. So you opened that door for me. I want to share something with you that Julian Assange said last week.
Oh, God.
You know, sitting there in his underwear in the basement of the Ecuadorian embassy, he got on Twitter when the Me Too hashtag was going around. You tell me what you think of this. Now, remember... He's hiding out because, as Darlene pointed out last week, he's hiding out because he was originally charged with sex crimes in Sweden, okay? And Sweden is perfectly competent to define sex crimes as they see fit and to pursue people who violate them. And he is alleged to have violated them. Well, so that's how he winds up in the Ecuadorian embassy basement, And so on the 20th of October, Julian Assange tweeted, "All I can say is thank God the Twitter mob wasn't around in the old South. There would have been a hell of a lot more black men swinging from trees," as tweeters said, "I believe the woman. He's definitely a rapist." You believe that shit?
So he's saying that had there been, the Twitter been around back in the day, that more black men would have been lynched?
Because women would have been believed when they made up, what he's saying here is that white women made up false stories about being raped by black men, and what he's alluding to is not the goddamn 19th century. What he's talking about is Emmett Till. Because, of course, the woman lied.
Yep.
And it was used as a pretext to murder Emmett Till. The idea of a guy charged with sex crimes saying that... Because what he's saying is that... he's also saying that modern women are making up stuff too.
Right, too. Yes, it's
and look, let's be clear. I mean, it's good to have someone of the opposite gender to carry on this conversation with, because I'm uncomfortable with the conversation, because I'm a guy. But you know, and I got some help on Facebook today from Joy. Who pointed out that there is a difference. There's a difference between rape and sexual abuse and sexual harassment and unwanted attention and passes and, you know, there's an entire universe of this kind of conduct, but they are not all one thing.
No.
There's a difference between the horror and trauma of rape and being made to feel creepy.
Yes.
Is that fair to say? I want to make sure. I don't want to get this wrong.
No, there's definitely a difference between. There's definitely a difference between the because. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's definitely a difference because coming from somebody that has had all those things happen, that when you, especially when you're at work and you're working late with your boss and he gets a little bit too close, but, you know, or, you know, pays a little bit too much attention to how nice you look that day. And when, or just, you know, there's compliments, and you know, if you dress nice or whatever, say, "Miss Porter, you look nice today." Nothing wrong with that. But when you say, "Miss Porter, you look nice today," and you're all up on me, when you say, Kim Bickle way, when you're all up on me, when you're saying it, no. Or when you use your position as my boss to date me, and then when you find out that, you know, a few months into the relationship, you didn't care, you know, I'm thinking that we're in a relationship, but it was just for sex, and then I wind up pregnant. You know, that's a bit kind of like sexual harassment. But see, this was before Anita Hill and all this other stuff. So, you know, this was back in the 80s. There was, I mean, of course, there was such a thing as sexual harassment, but how many women went to court over it? You know,
even now, it is brutally difficult to get anything resembling justice, and any woman who pursues it, because of the structure of our Constitution and our criminal law, is going to be put through the ringer, because
look what they did to Anita Hill.
We have this constitutional concept called the right to confront your accusers. In other words, you can't say, "Yeah, he done it to me," and then not have your credibility tested in court. So that means, by definition, that it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be probably painful. But then there's also the fact that the law differentiates between different kinds of conduct. In West Virginia, for instance, there is a straight-up sexual assault, first-degree, forcible use of display of a weapon, threats against the life, rape. But there's also third-degree sexual assault, which is what most people know as statutory rape. That's when somebody who is more than 4 years older than the underage person, and the underage person is less than 16, and that's just statutory. Consent doesn't matter. Nothing. It's just a matter. It's just math. And if the math works out, you're guilty.
You're done.
But then there are other felonies that don't carry quite as much of a penalty, like sexual abuse. And that's right. That's touching, not sex. And it has different penalties. It's still a sex offense. It's still skeevy and creepy and evil as shit. But it's different. And to me, it shouldn't be.
Those things that I never forget, and this is something that I hadn't thought about in a million years. I was probably about, 7, maybe 10 years ago. I'm at the bowling alley, and I'm playing pinball. And you know how you grasp the pinball machine, you got your hands on both sides of the machine, and you're beating the machine up, which you're using your hips and stuff like that. Well, while I was playing, I never turned around and looked. This guy came up behind me and kept putting quarters in the machine the whole time I was playing, grinding me the whole time I was playing. I was pretty much frozen up. I knew what was going on was wrong, but I didn't know what to do. And to this day, I couldn't even tell you what the man looked like. But every time the game would be over, he would put another quarter. He basically held me hostage. And every time the game would be over, he would put another quarter in the machine. And this went on, I don't know, for at least 20, 30 minutes. And I just could not tell you. I mean, I didn't even think about that until right now when we were talking about the touching thing. And, you know, how do you do that to a child? You know?
Yeah. And
from anybody that was walking by, it probably didn't look like he was doing anything wrong. You know, and I didn't scream or anything because I didn't know. I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know what to do. So it's like that. If I had said something or what have you, this guy should have been, I don't know, I think the proper punishment for him, castration. That's just me.
But the thing is, even castration is not a remedy because these are not crimes that are generated out of the libido, but out of the brain. Okay, it's not generated for sex so much as it is as an exercise of power.
Exactly.
Now, if there's sexual gratification somewhere along the way, well, that happens in a lot of different circumstances. The criminal law, there are criminal cases out there of serial killers who orgasmed every time they murdered somebody. But it's there and it's real. But we have to understand these as crimes of violence and crimes of exploitation of power. I mean, that's the classic case is what happens virtually every day or every week or every month, if not every day in America. And that's someone in a position of authority with the power of hell, heaven and hell, exercising it over a child in order to have some sort of sexual experience. Think, you know, Roman Catholic Church, Baptist youth ministers, what have you.
what was it not long ago about somebody that was giving toys away or something that was toys made out of semen?
Oh, I'm so glad I missed that one.
Yeah, it was toys out of one of the museums out here, out of one of the children's museums.
And then there's always that's just ew. And then there's always the follow up or the acting out factor. Children who have been subjected to sexual abuse often act out by turning around and re-perpetrating or reoffending,
yep.
Or you know, on someone that they can exercise power over. It's the ancient maxim. Okay. It's the ancient maxim that shit rolls downhill, done with a sexual component to it. And we are frankly not very good at all at recognizing any of this. Witness the political campaign of 2012. I mean, do you remember or the midterms of 2014? Do you remember forcible rape? And do you remember? A woman's body just has ways of shutting that down.
Shutting down. Right. Yeah, because, you know, my vagina has all power. And if I'm being forcibly raped, then I could just lock it down. You didn't know that, Bob?
No. And frankly, I'm terrified now. I'm glad to have... I'm glad to have never experienced the that moment when the teeth come out, but golly,
I don't know too many women that have that. Kimba, if you do not get off this bed, I'm trying to make up the bed. Kimba, go. And of course, what does she do?
Yeah,
she sits on the bed.
Yeah, absolutely, curled right up. Old enough to ignore mama now, huh?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, wouldn't you rather just curl up on some, you know, fresh out the washer, out the dryer, you know, all downied up sheets and blankets?
Oh heck yeah! I mean, that's the way I love it.
Got the, you know, you do the Febreze on the mattress,
mm-hmm.
and the whole nine yards.
Well, I mean, you did it all for her, right? I mean, because you know, mama loves the baby, right?
And of course, you know, I did it all for her, and she's just lying here looking at me like, "What, mommy? What's the problem?"
So, any big trips coming up or anything?
Well, remember, I'm going on a cruise. We leave December the 8th for Puerto Rico. Hopefully, the island will be. So, I've been keeping abreast of the situation there. Seems like things are getting better, that the grocery stores are being restocked now, but still a large majority of the island is still without power.
Well, I mean, you'd be without power, too, if a company from Montana that only had two employees was in charge of getting power restored.
Excuse me, what?
Huh? Yeah, did you miss the whitefish story? Department of Interior Secretary Ryan Shrinky Zinke's hometown, Whitefish, Montana, and there's a little power company there. It has two employees, and they got a $300 million contract to restore power to Puerto Rico, and it was just entirely a coincidence that Shrinky Zinke comes from there.
Bob, I could have restored power for $300 million. Jay Cruzen, you could have gotten that contract, and Jay Cruzen probably could have went down to Puerto Rico with some of his homies in Florida. At least that's closer.
A little bit, but and since it created such a stink, PREPA, the Puerto Rican Economic Electrical Power Authority, has since said they're going to cancel Whitefish's contract, and boy, there's probably a couple of really pissed off people in Whitefish.
Oh damn! No, I miss. See, this is why I have to tune into you guys at least once a week or so. Because, no, I hadn't heard that. Two people, 300 in Montana.
Yeah.
Not Miami.
No, Montana. And now the Puerto Rican authorities say that they think they're going to try to work with power companies in Florida and New York to try to get the job done.
You think? Hell, New York makes more sense considering how many Puerto Ricans probably live in New York, for God's sake.
Well, I think those two states probably have a higher Puerto Rican population than any other two states
in
the
Montana.
Union. Well, and yes, certainly than Montana, unless there's a lot of Puerto Rican cattle in Montana.
Somehow, I don't think there's this.
El Mu. You know, you can spot the Puerto Rican cattle in Montana because they say El Mu.
So how is everything? Enough of me about me. How is everything going with you?
Wait a minute, I'm giving myself a damn cowbell for El Mu.
Yeah, okay. You gotta get, how's everything, how's fundraising going?
So here's the deal, it's the end of the month, if we're gonna nudge the Norsky, lick the Lithuanian, and cash the check, we gotta raise $380, and if we can raise $380 this evening, which it looks like we're not going to because we're at zero, if we do that, then we can have a fundraising free Halloween, which would be awesome. I love days when I don't even have to mention fundraising.
Well, Kim was giving you, since she's kissed, I guess she hears your voice and she's you through me. So we're going to give the Cash for Kimba's Kisses challenge.
Okay, Cash for Kimba's Kisses. You know, I have this effect on Horn Family Community Congregation dogs, because down in Georgistan, Steve listens every night, and he's got he always has little Twiggy and little Cletus listening, and they sit and they sit by the speaker, and they get antsy when the program's not on. Yes, that's right. Cletus and Twiggy are good little puppies. That's right. Oh, you're so good. Yes, such a good puppy. And they hear that. Yeah.
Well, Kimba is absolutely refusing to get off the bed, so I'm giving up. I got most of it made up. I just have to put the comfort on it. So let's do a Cash for Kim, you know, because she's not getting off the bed, so I'm giving up on making up the bed. So let's see. Cash for Kimba. What is Cash for Kimba's Kisses? Challenge. So let's do, I don't know, let's do $25.
Okay, so Kimba and Tracy will kick in $25 to match the first $25 that come in this evening. And Kimba's a very good girl. Don't give her a hard time. She's a sweet puppy. She just wants a soft, wonderful place to curl up on mommy's bed, that's all.
Right, because she knows. She's so spoiled. I mean, there was somebody sent me a picture on my Facebook page. It was perfect. There was two dogs, you know, Stalker, and they don't move. You know, fire, floods, pestilence, they don't move. But they hear a cheese wrapper.
Gone.
Gone. Instant. This girl could be outside, and if as long as she hears and thinks that I'm in the kitchen, I could be in any part of the house. But if she thinks that mommy's going anywhere near the kitchen, and she hears, you know, the refrigerator door open, or me, you know, pull out a pot from the cabinet.
We've got cats here too, and I came home from the grocery store the other day, and I got everything I needed but cat food. You do not want the stink eye that I got from a blue-eyed Siamese cat and her little one-year-old solid black accomplice. Oh, no. They were both looking at what? Really? You forgot the food? I'm not kidding. I am not kidding, Tracy. I'd gotten comfortable. I put my sweats on and everything, and they're just standing there looking at me. I'm like, all right. I checked, and the Wiggling Pig didn't close for like another 15 minutes. So I got dressed, went howling up the road, got there in time, ran inside. They didn't have their brand. I had to bring them off-brand cat food. I came in, I opened it up, I shook it out into their dish, and they looked at it and said, really? Really? Chinese cat food? I'm a Siamese cat, not a Chinese cat, you dick! You know, and... Because it was this awful off-brand Chinese cat food, and there wasn't anything to be. There wasn't any Iams. There wasn't any. There wasn't any Rachel Ray Nutrish. All those years watching her cook on TV, only figuring out later that she was coming up with her dog and cat food recipes. No, it was just this off-brand, I presume, Chinese cat food, and they. Oh. So, you know, yesterday, in the midst of tinkering around with the sound here in the studio and everything, I found time to go all the way across the river to Kroger so I could get them their brand. And now they're happy. And you know how I know they're happy? Because they're back. Because they're back to ignoring me again instead of giving me the stink eye.
Ah.
Yeah, they weren't quite mad enough to shit in my shoe or anything, so I'm thankful for that.
Do cats really do that?
Cats really, or you know, they'll puke in your shoe too if they're mad enough. That's even worse.
That's just nasty.
And the other thing they do, I mean, cats are past masters of passive aggression. The other thing they'll do is, you know, cats go to their box and they do their thing and then they bury it, right? Well,
right.
If they're disgusted with you, they won't bury it.
I'm sorry.
Until Agnes and my marriage, we didn't have cats. I mean, we had outdoor cats. You know, the kind that just come up and adopt you and take care of the critters, the mice and snakes and stuff like that, and you keep some food out for them. But they don't,
yeah. The kind that we need. We've been having a rodent problem at my house. Ugh. Like, bad. And this is after we've paid for, to rodent-proof our house. It was like, wait a minute. We paid all this money to rodent-proof our house, and now we're getting rodents? I digress. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
No, I understand, but only in the last 6, 7, 8 years have we had inside cats, and wow. I mean, that's all I can say. Yeah.
I'm a step away from we're a step away, because we spent all this money on there was from the house and wire the, you know, all the entrances and blah, 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 and woo-da-woo, woo-da-woo. And we've had more issues after the fact than before the fact. I'm like, after a certain time in the evening, I leave the living room. I'm out the living room. I don't go in the kitchen. It's helped me with my waist, with my weight, because there's no... I'm not going into the kitchen for a midnight snack. That's goddamn sure.
Not even a midnight yogurt? That's what we do around here, mm-mm. Midnight yogurt.
Nobody. That's
some self-restraint.
No. Well, I'm a, when it comes to four-legged creatures and stuff like that, I'm definitely a city girl,
mm-hmm.
And that shit freaks me out, and I can't do it. I can't do it. I won't do it. I just don't.
Exactly. I think what pissed my cats off was the fact that they saw me unload my coffee from the bag, and then I didn't unload the, and they were like, right, you remembered your coffee.
you review your shit, motherfucker.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And that's how they said it. That's just, I heard them, Bob, all the way over here, and they said, "You remember your shit, motherfucker. What about me?"
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, we know what we know what you're thinking about, you selfish bastard. Right.
They probably call, you know what they called you, Republican. You know that, right?
I wouldn't be surprised in the least. My Siamese cat is probably a Stein voter. You know, she's got that sort of disdainful, better than everybody, up to her pretty blue eyes and privilege kind of thing going on.
I can't stand talking. On that note, I'm hanging up the phone now because.
What have I done?
You can't. This time he was trying to kill Stein voter. You have to give yourself a cowbell for that one.
Okay. I'll take them where I can get them, Tracy. I'm shameless.
No, that one, with her privilege, with her blue-eyed privilege.
Well, I mean, you'd have to understand the looks that you get. It's a lot, you know, that sort of, I've got so much more ethical purity than you, you know. It's there. But the thing is, I can't help but love her. She's just beautiful. And
well,
you know, every now and then she'll walk over and let you, you know, like pet her. And she's a terrible, she's a terrible influence on the 1 year old little cat, little ex kitten.
Well, I have to say, if we don't, we might have to go ahead and break down the cats or something, because one of them chewed a whole. I had family over this last week. My mom was out here for her 50th high school reunion, and we're all sitting in the living room watching television. And one of the motherfuckers was chewing a hole. We just heard chewing through the wall. We woke up the next morning, there was a, yes, that yeah. noise. And when we got up the next morning, there was a hole the size of a silver dollar.
Well, you need to talk to Sparky. Sparky's got it down to a science. He's got one of those little electrocution pads, and, you know.
Oh, that's really. I'm going to have to send a note to Sparky.
He'll probably send you the brand and where to find it and everything.
Because I'm about tired of the bullshit. Because when you're catching two mice, you know, and rats or whatever a day.
Well, yeah, and if they, and, you know, you said it's your kitchen, and I remember you talking about the fabulous kitchen you were putting in and everything. This is a long way back to when our house was even deeper in the country than it is now. But cold weather would come around, and it was an old farmhouse that sat up on. It didn't have a dug foundation or a poured, you know, or even footers. It was an old West Virginia farmhouse. And it sat on piled stones, okay? Like, you know, like piers, like pilings for a pier. And so there was space under the whole house. And there was no way to keep them out. Except, you know, we had cats that, you know, patrolled the yard and everything, but some would get through. And you know, in the dead deep of a hillbilly winter, they're looking for warmth. And they burrowed into the insulation of the stove. Because it was a gas stove and there was always a pilot light, so there's always a little bit of warmth and heat. And then you go to bake something. Say a pan of cornbread that you bake at 425.
Oh, no, no, no.
And you crank it, and I mean, it's real. It happened. I'm ruining it. Let's see, eight. It's about dinner time out there in the Pacific time zone. Pan of cornbread, 425. Crank that sucker up, and a little Agnes looks at me and goes, "What's that smell?" I just cleaned the oven last week, and, you know, that you could eat off the inside of the oven. Because it was a smell that you just, I don't even want to describe.
Oh.
But what it was incinerating rat.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. That was it for the stove. It was like, no. Bob, what you can do, you just got to pull it out and pull out all the insulation, put new insulation out.
No.
New stove. And not too long after that, we moved over here. And it was...
Well, my mom has the same thing. She lives in the backwoods of Fayetteville, North Carolina, and in one of those things where it started off as a trailer, and then they kind of built a house onto it. I thought only white people live with stuff like that, Bob. Sorry.
Well, hillbillies. That's Appalachia, too.
Her husband's white, so there you go.
Well, but it's also Appalachia.
Yep.
And in part, there's parts where, you know, you dig, you can't dig down, you can't even dig far enough to, you know, pour footers or do any, because you hit a buried mountain. Because that's what it boils down to.
The way to do a mountaintop removal, but the way to do a mountaintop removal there, you won't have none of that, not too much longer now, will ya?
No, it'll still be rock, because they just go down to the last level of rock that has coal on top of it, and then you're done. By the way, in the chat room, Hung Like Jesus says, it just gets worse, Tracy. You got to get a couple of rescue cats, and that problem will be done in a week. And he may be right.
Do we have to keep them inside, or do we?
Well, yeah, they're not much good. No. They come inside, and they'll figure things out. You know, Kimba won't eat them, and, you know.
Yeah, we're at that point now where when my sister had spent the night because she was supposed to spend the whole weekend with me, but how could she sleep with that gnawing going on while she's trying to sleep?
I understand. It's almost enough to make you say, you know, burn the house down and we'll find another one.
Yep, if I didn't like my house so much, because I really do like my house.
My youngest daughter living out in New Mexico said she had killed two spiders in her house in the last week, and one more in the house was going to burn. I'm like, baby, don't you remember when daddy would put them on a piece of paper and carry them outside so that they could, because they were just eating other things that we liked even less? She said, yeah, that's you, and you're not here.
I feel your daughter. Let me just say, I'm very grateful that my wife is butch and my son lives with us. Oh, my son, Alex, he got ingenious with it because, you know, when you set the traps and then they take the peanut butter off and then they, you know, the trap don't snap or it snaps and nothing happens to the mongrel.
Yeah.
You know what Alex did? He super glued the food to the trap.
Oh, make them, okay, make them work at it. Well, this is a full-service radio network. I just had a note from Sparky. He said, I sent Tracy a link for the rat trap. Use peanut butter for bait. It's on her Skype. So log into your Skype, and the link will be there.
Thank you, Sparky. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So hang in there. It'll be okay. Just pull out the drawer. Electric oven?
No, so it's gas. I can't put the electric.
Well, just make sure, you know, make sure that the underneath area there, yeah.
Alex pulls it out on the regular. They don't, because this is what the last straw yesterday, because Jan had just bought sourdough bread, Bob.
Oh.
That big. And the motherfuckers not only went into the sourdough bread, but drug it off the fucking counter.
Oh, they're getting okay. They're getting brazen. You got to go to the shelter.
I'm going to have to break it down, and we're just going to go get a cat because we live behind a field or in front of a field or whatever, and my neighbor next door to me, she has the same issues, but they never got a house because she has two cats. So
there we go. See, that's how it works. Oh, and I got happy news for you. Little Cletus went out and dug up 10 bones, and John kicked in 10 bones, so we're only $5 away from meeting your challenge. Hot diggity.
Woo-hoo! Doggy.
Yep, and that'll take us down to only 3:30 to go, so hot damn.
Well, on that note, I'm going to go and rewrap my... Did I tell you that I have lymphedema? Did I tell you that I'm walking around looking like the lower half of a mummy?
No, what?
Lymphedema. It's my lymphatic system is on a fritz.
Yeah.
And as a result, my legs swell up. So I have to wrap my legs for 48 hours at a time and like triple is like is crazy the bandages that I have to wear.
Well, I guess we're all just we're all just falling apart. This pinched nerve in my neck is driving me batshit.
Oh, never worse than a pinched nerve.
Oh, it's Jan, yeah, it's awful.
Jan had one in her hand.
I just lost Tracy. Dadgummit. Oh, and we met, and her challenge has been met. Thank you to our buddy Chug a Punch in the chat room who sends a message. Have a kiss. Thank you, Jug. Thank you very kindly. So that means, let's see, three, we're down to $330 to go into fundraising for the evening. So that's a beautiful thing. Okay. I'm trying to understand. Maybe this is the kind of typing you get on a little small device or something. But John tells me, tell Tracy to go down to the tractor supply and get bromethalin, B-R-O-M-E-T-H-A-L-I-N. We had major issues. This shit knocked it out in a week. Put it everywhere. Bromethalin. You there, Tracy?
I'm here. Bromethalin.
Bromethalin, B-R-O-M-E-T-H-A-L-I-N.
But do they have such a thing as tractor supplies in Los Angeles? That's my next question.
Well, no, maybe, I don't know, but I'm sure they got bromethalin in Los Angeles somewhere.
Spell that again, bro.
Yeah, bromethalin, bromethalin.
A-L-I-N, okay. I'll Google that.
And while you were gone, your challenge got met. So.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you for getting us started this evening. Thank you so much. And
well, you know me. You know I got to come in from, you know, come in from the shadows.
Right, and in fact, Ralph's just kicked it up a notch. Your challenge actually generated $30, not 25. So, yay!
Nice. So, who do you have? Do you think the Dodgers are going to? Do you think it's going to go to Game 7?
Oh, I don't know.
Have you been watching?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Do you even care about baseball?
Oh, I love baseball. But you know, the Dodgers were such a damn machine this year. But it almost feels like Houston is.
It's like they want it more.
Well, and it's like they're it's like they're playing under a star or something, like some sort of. I mean, it's been a hell of a series, and
they're getting a chance there.
And I'm just glad the Yankees aren't in it. Sorry, Yankees fans.
You and a whole—I actually thought it was going to be the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Well, I couldn't understand. I was surprised when the Yankees got past Cleveland.
I was excited. I was just happy that the Dodgers just spanked the Cubs. That was embarrassing.
Now you've hurt Billable Rick's feelings.
I just said that was I felt bad. did feel bad because, you know, but I was going to surprise Jen and get her a pair of, because I didn't care about going, but I wanted her to go because, man, the cheapest tickets, $1,100.
Ouch.
In the rafters. In the rafters. Where they basically you have to send a drone down just to see if you if the people are still playing because you don't know.
Right, you basically that's one of those seats where you have to put the space suit on and everything with the, and it's got self-contained breathing.
With the
right?
Oxygen.
Yeah.
Oxygen mask. You might as well be in the parking lot. Yes. So.
Well, Marty is Marty is predicting Justin Verlander closes it out in the sixth.
That's tomorrow night.
Yep. Okay, the research department has gotten on it. Jug-a-Punch says seven or more tractor supplies in the L.A. area.
Do me a favor, Bob. Text me that or whatever. Because, of course, I have our Brometh. Let me see. Bromethylene. Yeah, there are parts here. That's right.
Yeah, bromethylene. Okay.
Grow.
I've never heard of it before.
Will it hurt? Yeah. Will it hurt my dog?
Now see, that's I don't know.
Look, I went on Google for Bromethylene and dogs. God, gotta go on Google. It just wasn't secondary poisoning if they eat the rats or mice that have ingested the poison themselves.
Yeah, but Kimba's
so
way too high class to eat a mouse.
If it don't come off my plate or if it's not in her bowl, she ain't eating shit.
Yeah, well, see, there we go.
So, well, on that happy note, I'm glad. So I will be sending that out right away, and it is good to talk to y'all. I miss you truly, and I give me that bit of sanity that I need throughout the day.
Well, don't be a stranger. You know, we worry when we don't hear from people.
I know. Come on, Kimba. See, I finished making up the bed. So, ha, ha, ha.
Ah.
I'm fine staying here. I don't care.
Oh, wait. No, still not moving. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's some vicious pit bull you got there, Tracy.
Oh, whatever. So good night, everybody, and I'm going to tell people, tell my wife that somebody said that Houston's going to take it off tomorrow. Her response was, suck Houston's eggs. And actually, I'm surprised, considering who my wife is, I'm surprised that the only thing she said was suck Houston's eggs.
Okay, so before you go, here's the John in North Carolina, Stan, clarified. You want Tomcat brand poison from Tractor Supply, not the Tomcat brand you can get at Walmart. The Tomcat brand of poison at Tractor Supply is the one with the bromethylene in it. And you put it, he said, I put it under my house behind all the appliances and in every bedroom. So, you know, places where Kimba would have a hard time getting at it anyway.
So apparently there's a poison that we should be trying, aside from getting cats, there's a poison that, have you ever heard of bromethylene?
Yeah,
bromethylene. Well, I just read it. It said that as long as she doesn't eat the rats. But, yeah, Jan's like, nah, that's. But if we put it,
come on, Jan just wants a cat, and we know it.
Right. You know, Jan doesn't want cats. She feels.
Well, and again, over in you got a link. You got a link for the hot pad, as you know, and. Right.
Hey, did you know that there were rat traps that electrocute rats?
Yeah.
Fred Frenzy.
Who are you talking to?
Well, I have to get information because I'm tired of being held hostage by our...
Those are cute little critters. They're so cute. Aren't they, Kimbush?
Yeah, no. All right, it sounds like there's going to be a domestic discussion here, so...
Yeah, so anyhow.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
All right, we'll see you, Tracy. Bye now.
Good night, Bob.
The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver calling from L.A. Yeah. Jesus. Okay. All right. So that's that. And we are happily down to only 325 to go to have a fundraising. Well, okay. So we are down to 125 to go to finish fundraising for tonight. 325 to go to have a fundraising free Halloween Tuesday at the Horn. Okay? So, there we go. Yeah, you want to get in the conversation? You see how easy it is? You are more than you're more than welcome to jump in. Marty, rubbing it in. For Jan, Tracy's wife. Beat LA, beat LA. Troublemaker. You people, you'd rather climb a tree and fight than stand on the ground and live in peace. Honest to God. What am I going to do? Okay, anyway, like I said, you want to jump into the conversation, 304-574-8178, or from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. Huh. Okay. So it's still more and Monday, and by the way, have you tried sweaty swamp cabbage from Horn Labs? Sweaty swamp cabbage will give you the power and the courage to go for a midnight snack in your kitchen, even if there's the potential of mice running around. Sweaty swamp cabbage from Horn Labs, nutritional supplements for people who just need to have nutritional supplements from some guy on the radio, because those are the best nutritional supplements. Horn Labs, a new nutritional supplement every day until I've run through the entire list of fruits and vegetables, and then we'll start on the minerals. It is still, like I said, it is still... more on Monday, and will be till midnight. Let's check in with the Pope of Pentecostalism. I'm not saving him for prayer meeting Wednesday. That's right. Former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson. Now, I don't think skunk cabbage and swamp cabbage are the same thing, Randy. They may be different. And, of course, when it's sweaty swamp cabbage, it's completely different, because the dedicated scientists at Horn Labs, okay, it's all pencil shavings. Okay, let's just stop there. Former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson is offering advice to Dolt 45. Whether one would want to take that advice, I don't know, especially in light of what Steve in New York said about what happens if somebody's got immunity, civil contempt, and all of that. But no, it's more on Monday, so let's check in with Marion.
Manafort is an easy target, if I can use that term. He has clearly been an agent of foreign governments. They have paid him huge amounts of money, and the chances are he hasn't appropriately registered as an agent. And so there's a technical violation that they could get him on, and that may be what they're going after, and then one of his aides. But as far as the White House, not a chance. And there's an op-ed today in the newspaper about what the president's power is. He can grant a pardon.
you know what I need to hear Marion say? He said, you know, as far as the president's concerned, not a chance. I need him to tell me that God told him that Mueller will not be able to reach Donald Trump. Because every time God tells Marion Robertson something, it winds up being the exact opposite. So yeah, maybe, who knows?
To everybody involved in this thing, if he wants to, and there's no such thing as the president obstructing justice if he talks to one of his people in the Justice Department. They're part of the administration.
Tell that to Richard M. Nixon. Just, you know, there was, because John Mitchell, remember John Mitchell? But what Marion's offering up here is the old Nixonian statement that if the president does it, it's not illegal.
Force. That's his side of the aisle under the Constitution. So this whole thing has got to be shut down, and I think they've got what they call the fruit of the poisonous tree. We had that in law school. You learn that when the source is tainted, then everything that comes out of that source is tainted. And that Fusion GPS dossier is tainted.
Yeah, except for the fact that it's not. And the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine in evidence does not apply to Fusion GPS. It was simply research that was done into the sketchy dealings of Donald Trump. Remember, and please remember who first turned over the dossier. Wasn't Hillary Clinton. It wasn't even demonic Debbie Wasserman Schultz. No, it was John McCain. John McCain was the first person to hand the dossier over to the relevant authorities. And the research was begun by, apparently, the Washington Free Beacon, which, of course, was intimately associated with people like, Marco Rubio. Funny how you only hear about Hillary Clinton and all that, right? But what's more interesting is that scads of the allegations within the dossier, the Steele dossier, have been substantiated. Why? Because Christopher Steele, former MI6, is actually very good at, or was very good at what he does. At this point in time, I'd say that his career in that sort of line of work is probably pretty well over.
And the source of the money coming from the Democratic Party makes it tainted. It isn't a clear, independent dossier.
How cerebrally challenged does one have to be to listen to this drivel, Emery and Marvelline sitting there in the matching Barca loungers and, Marvelline, he makes a good point there. Oh, yes, he does, Emery, poisonous tree and everything. You know, that's what Eve ate, the poisonous tree from the fruit of the poisonous tree. Yeah? And look where that got us. Yeah, that Marion Robertson, he's got a mind like a steel trap, rusted shut.
And this means that every indictment, like the of General Flynn, that came out of that source is tainted, and they've got to quash any indictments or any interrogatories.
No, Marion, they don't. And in point of fact, a lot of the stuff that they've got on Flynn, it doesn't have anything to do with the dossier. It has to do with things like wiretaps from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Yeah? Uh-huh. James points out, Marion Robertson, he's not a lawyer. He's God's representative here on Earth. Well, that's why I call him the Pentecostal Pope.
That result from that, and so most of that stuff's going to get shut down, and I just believe the president has got to shut this thing down. It's a distraction. He is chief executive officer of the United States of America. He's got to do the nation's business. We are faced with crucial things around the world.
Oh, he's giving us the business, all right.
Several areas of conflict that he's got to deal with. And we have huge matters at home that have got to get our nation moving. We cannot have this destruction. And I think he has is every right to shut Mueller down and say, you've gone as far as you need to. And I have instructed my Justice Department to close you down. He can do it. And he also, you know, the article today of a couple of lawyers was saying he can grant a blanket pardon for everybody involved in everything.
Yeah, he can.
And say, all right, I pardon them all, you know, case closed, it's all over. And I think that's what he needs to do. And I think we will see. It may not be till the first of next year before he gets to it, but he's got to shut this thing down.
No, he doesn't, but he probably will. And at that point in time, this thing that you that I have been saying since before January 20th is a constitutional crisis. This thing that actually, and no kidding, became a constitutional crisis on January the 20th, 2017. Well, if he fires Mueller, we will be in a straight up, no kidding, no getting around it, constitutional crisis. And then, well, then we'll see what happens to what's left of our republic. Because according to the Post, Washington Post, the Clementine Caligula was late showing up for work this morning. He spent the morning, this is the quote from the story, he spent the morning playing fuming media critic, legal analyst, and crisis communications strategist while periodically making repeated phone calls to his lawyers. Sure, every not guilty person does that, right? I mean, it's just what you do. Oh, and you know how bringing the heroic, honor enshrouded John Kelly into the White House as chief of staff was supposed to stop the leaking? Yeah, the sieve is pretty much still just a spigot. Meanwhile, White House special counsel Ty Cobb said to. The president is spending all of his time on presidential work. Last I checked, in this era, presidential work is playing golf and tweeting. See how slippery those pettifogging lawyers can be. A senior Republican close to White House staffers said to the Washington Post, "The walls are closing in. Everyone is freaking out." And of course, that's the question. It's always the question. Who in the White House is willing to take the fall for Donald Trump? It's not like this is a well organized, well machine humming along. No. and it's not like it's the mob and they've got the ancient concept of omerta to fall back on. I mean, ask yourself, and granted, I'm gonna ask you to put your mind in a really skeevy, nasty, ugly place. But if you were somebody working in the Trump White House, and you'd gotten a friendly little call from Bob Mueller's office saying that his FBI folks would like to have a little chat with you. Well, apparently Mr. Papadopoulos thought that, yeah, okay, I'll take one for the team. And so he lied. And he got himself a guilty plea out of it. Here's what's interesting. You know, he's already entered the guilty plea, and the point of departure for sentencing begins at zero time. So that means he has struck a real sweetheart deal. And so CNN was reporting this afternoon that a representative from Mueller's office, namely Aaron Zelinsky, said the following. The criminal justice interest being vindicated here is there's a large-scale ongoing investigation of which this case, namely Papadopoulos, is a small part. Then there's the October 3rd statement from Mueller's office. Although the government is moving expeditiously to interview individuals of immediate interest to the investigation, news that the defendant has been, October 30th. This is the statement. Although the government is moving expeditiously to interview individuals of immediate interest to the investigation, news that the defendant, Papadopoulos, has been charged with and pleaded guilty to lying to federal agents may make those individuals reluctant to speak with investigators. Revealing the defendant's plea would likely chill individuals to be interviewed in the coming weeks. No, so that is October 3rd, not October 30th. So they just kind of sat on it. Now, I don't have the answer to this question. If the research department wants to get on this, it might be helpful. How did he plead? Well, he pled, apparently, to an indictment. So that means it wasn't by information, which means he didn't consent to the charge, which means that they didn't have the plea deal worked out before the charge was filed. In the indictment, it says, Papadopoulos claimed that his interactions with an overseas professor who defendant Papadopoulos understood to have substantial connections to Russian government officials occurred before he became a foreign policy advisor to the campaign. Papadopoulos acknowledged that the professor had told him about the Russians possessing dirt on then-candidate Hillary Clinton in the form of thousands of emails, but stated multiple times that he learned that information prior to joining the campaign. In truth and in fact, however, Papadopoulos learned he would be an advisor to the campaign in early March and met the professor on or about March 14th, 2016. Oopsie! Then there's reference to a female Russian national. Would that be Ms. Veselnitskaya? After his trip to Washington, D.C., defendant Papadopoulos worked with the professor and the female Russian national to arrange a meeting between the campaign and the Russian government and took steps to advise the campaign of his progress. Now, he's pled guilty to this, okay? That means it is taken as fact. One could even argue that it's res judicata to anybody else that would be charged in, say, connection to that meeting with Ms. Veselnitskaya, which would include, oh, I don't know, Jr. and Jared. Yeah, you read stuff like this, and you can understand how that those anonymous White House staffers would say something like, "The walls are closing in." Nonetheless, everything is an opportunity with a bunch of grifters like the Trump family. Because no sooner was the Manafort news of the Manafort indictment out, then by God, there went a fundraising blast email from the Trump campaign. It had the subject line still standing and was alleged to come from Eric Trump, you know, Cootie, Cusay, the dumb one. Still standing. There's a new opposition against my father and this administration every day, but as a loyal supporter, I know you know the truth. Please make a contribution of just $1 to help us crush our goal this month. No, really. It's on Trump Pence letterhead. The mainstream media continues to play politics, creating division and turning the American people against one another. But as a loyal supporter of our movement, I know you know the truth. My father has spoken out time and again against those who have tried to bring this country down and will always do so to protect hardworking Americans whose values have been forgotten by Washington. To stand with us, please consider making a crucial end-of-month contribution before the deadline tomorrow. Yeah, no. Here's a question, and I don't know the answer to it. Let's say, just for the sake of argument, let's say that Geezer Disgustus gets up close to 2020 time and decides, you know, America is now great. I've made America great again. And so I'm going to spend more time with my family and not run. He gets to keep the money, doesn't he? Because remember, the entire reason that he went into this whole thing was because he was broke. And he was trying to figure out a way to scam up some money to pay his bad debts. And so here we are. Yeah. It's just a dollar. Buddy, can you spare a dollar? Can my dad? You got a dollar for my dad? My dad needs a dollar. Definitely a dollar. Yeah. Hey, Eric, how much does a cup of coffee cost? About a dollar. Hey, Eric, how much does it cost to run a presidential campaign? About a dollar. And thanks very kindly to Renee in D.C. Thank you, Renee, so very much for kicking in this evening. That means we're down to $320 to go to finish the month and have a fundraising free October 31st Halloween program. Okay? Sounds good. Thank you, Renee. Thank you so much. So that's one at 320, two at 160, four at 80, eight at 40, 16 at 20, 32 at 10, 64 at 5, 128 at 250. Well, I tell you what, that just made it easy. That's some easy ciphering going on there. Thank you, Nick. Via our buddy, Todd. One, three things. One, why is that dried-up 700 Club motherfucker still alive? He was old when I was a kid in middle school, and he was crazy then, too. Question two, Manafort is a dead man walking. Putin's minions are gunning for him. Stay away from men with umbrellas there, Paul. Number three, whatever happened to that gargoyle, also known as Giuliani? He's as quiet as a deaf mute in a coma. Remember he had so much information and he was so gleeful? Just wondering. Well, he's a former U.S. attorney, and by God, he knows when to go to ground and stay there. The smart ones are getting away while the getting's good. And Giuliani would rather not reprise his turn as a drag queen in the old Gray Bar Hotel. All right, let's go and check in with Jim. Hey, Jim.
Oh my Lord, him as a drag queen.
Have you not seen the picture?
No, honey.
Oh no! You got it. No, just use the interweb tubes. Type in Rudy Giuliani drag queen, and there's a picture of him and Donald Trump standing together.
I just love it. As far as your math is concerned, you know what Mae West said. 2 and 2 is 4. 5 will get you 10 if you know how to work it.
Yeah, and 15 will get you 20.
Whatever. You know, I tell you, all this crap about Trump and all those people up there, I wish they were all... I'm just tired of talking about them. Because, you know, whatever will be. But I do believe this could be the end of the beginning or the beginning of the end. And that's all I can say.
Well, I think it's, I prefer the Hoagie Carmichael approach, Jim. It's the begin the begin.
No, that's Cole Porter, darling.
No, that's Hoagie Carmichael.
No, sir.
All right, now we got to check because we're going to fight.
We are going to fight. It's Cole Porter. Begin the begin. Are you kidding me? Please, sir.
Oh, you're right. Cole Porter. I don't know where I got Hoagie Carmichael. Oh, Stardust. Hoagie Carmichael Stardust.
Yes, his wife was cremated. He had her ashes spread over Manhattan. That's where he got the song from.
Yeah, so this is the begin the beginning, not the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning.
Whatever. But, you know, I'm your Cole Porter person.
You are. You absolutely are.
I mean, who else has sung to you Cole Porter songs on the radio?
Precisely no one.
That's about it. Look, changing the subject, getting away from these fuckers, and that's why they all are fuckers. They're going to get what's coming to them, I hope. And there are two things I want to two movies I want to recommend. The first is Breached. I told you about this before. It's about Robert Hansen.
Yes.
The worst spy we've ever had in U.S. history. It's a true story. And it actually occurred. The lawyer who broke it when he was an FBI special agent still practices in Washington. Has Prince Hansen, Ryan Felipe, and, oh, my God, this wonderful Laura Linney. Now, that's a damn good film.
It sounds well worth it.
Well, we talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And the second is one that's lesser known, and this goes out to the LGBT community, excuse me, and it's called Urbania, Urbania. Now, this is an absolute must. They both are absolute must-sees. One for truthful, two for truthful. Urbania, John Cheer film.
Okay. Okay.
Excellent. Yeah, I have pretty good taste in a lot of things, and one of them is movies.
Well, except for Santa Claus Invades Mars, or whatever it was. What was the name of that one?
Santa Claus versus the Martians.
Yes, Santa Claus versus the Martians,
mm-hmm.
which is in itself a classic in its own of its own sort.
Now you know that, like we were talking about that, it was just pure camp.
Well, yes, it was, and pure chaos, as this program often is.
Well, you better thank God for that, I guess. Lord, have mercy. But I watched Urbania last night. It first came out in 2004. Excuse me. Sorry here. I didn't mean to bark in your ear. Forgive me. And you have to watch that movie a couple times. And it will definitely pull at your heartstrings. It will definitely do that. And it's most sympathetic to our, because the late LGBT community, excuse me. Superb.
Well, I'll bet you I'll get some emails about it.
I hope you do, tell you the truth. I'm sure some people out there have seen it.
Did you watch it on a particular platform? Netflix, Amazon Prime, what?
I have the CD. I mean the DVD. I just plugged it. I've got a little.
How old is it?
I think 2004, something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay, so it's been around a while.
Oh, yeah, I have, sure. With Dan Futterman and the guy who does a lot of stuff on PBS. Who advertises the PBS mystery things, dark hair, Alan Cummings.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's in it, too. It's a real good film. People should not miss these things. I don't know how they get under the radar, because they just don't have all this crap that surrounds so much other stuff that everybody has to go see. But
speaking of which, from a historical standpoint, there's one hitting the theater soon, and I don't know whether. Well, I'll wait till it comes out on video, but still. A Churchill biopic.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And I'm trying to think of it. Is it Gary Sinise that's playing Churchill this time?
That's a hard time. Well, I guess he. Yeah, the makeup can do anything. But he's a damn good actor, too.
Yeah, a little right wingy, though. I kind of wonder about the script, although, you know, you can't always know. Albert Finney did a brilliant job with Churchill in the HBO movie a couple of years back.
Right, right. Well, Albert Finney definitely. And, of course, you know, Churchill was as right wing as they come. You know that.
Well, Churchill was whatever Churchill needed to be to maintain power.
Yeah, he's the one who said in 1937, if there was a man we ever needed, it'd be somebody like Hitler. He sure as hell did.
Yeah, and that whole Gallipoli thing didn't work out so well either.
No, it did not. And as soon as the war was barely over, they voted his ass out of office. So, I mean, you know, he was good for what he did. And I have great respect for what he did and all that. But, you know, he was certainly in love with one person, and that was Winston Churchill. That's for damn sure. But, you know, going back to other things, what are you going to do for Halloween? Are you going to do anything for Halloween besides broadcast? Are you going to be in costume?
No, I'd like to say I will, but no, I'll just be here doing the program. Maybe there'll be a reading of something really creepy or classic.
Dear.
I'm pretty good with the Raven. And
the Cask of Amontillado.
Oh,
that's a pretty good one.
I love that. I love the Cask of Amontillado.
Mm-hmm. I thought you might. But,
and the madness, the madness of the telltale heart.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, here's the thing about Poe. Poe was not the alcoholic in person they said he was.
No, he was not. I mean, that's what modern science says now.
He couldn't drink. I mean, if he had one drink, he'd be on the floor. And he was not an alcoholic. And I don't know about him being a drug addict. I'm not sure what killed him.
Well, I saw something a few years ago saying that it is now thought that he had some disease. It may be rabies or something. I'm not sure what.
No, I'm not sure about that. But a lot of disparaging remarks have been made about his personal habits. But they're just not true. I mean, alcoholism ran in his family. And like I say, he was one of those people who was intensely allergic to alcohol. I mean, one drink, more than two drinks, it would probably kill him. Now, as far as laudanum and stuff like that, I don't know. I'll leave that to Samuel Taylor Coleridge. But
well, you know, laudanum, you could get laudanum over the counter just like you can go and buy a fifth of whiskey. I mean, this was that was that part of America that was a libertarian wonderland, and you know, and people, you know, oh well, you know, he's got a little laudanum problem. But the framers of the Constitution and the founding fathers and whatnot were of an era when it was nothing to down a gallon and a half of wine a day.
Oh, of course, they were prolific drinkers. I mean, now most of the water they had was poison, had cholera in it, and you know, same thing in Europe. They drank all these prepared spirits because at least they were somewhat pure, because the water was just deadly.
Oh, by the way, I've been twice corrected now, both by Ron and Raleigh and by Marty. Not Gary Sinise, Gary Oldman.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, Gary Oldman plays Churchill.
Yeah, if Gary Oldman could do what he did as Dracula, whoo, Lord, he did a good job with that. He really did. And I don't know how many hours of makeup they had to put on those people, but it must be absolute hell for what they have to go through. And how they could act and perform under all that stuff, I don't know.
You know, I wanted to do a little bit of just cheap escapism. It was Friday night. And I watched, just because I hadn't in a very long time, I watched Big Fish again. That's
well,
a wonderful movie.
I don't even know anything about it.
Have you never seen Big Fish?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I think you'd enjoy it. Ewan McGregor, Albert Finney, Jessica Lange, Danny DeVito, Steve Buscemi. It's just a wonderful film, absolutely wonderful film.
Well, I have to think about that. Yes, indeed. See what's going on. Little Fish.
Big Fish.
Big Fish. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's got a sort of a mythic Southern Gothic flavor to it. Hearing a Scotsman and a classically trained Englishman doing Southern accents is always fun. And God,
what's the setting?
The setting is Alabama.
Plantation.
No. It's Alabama of the 40s up to the modern era.
Hmm.
But again, it's myth, and it's almost got a Homeric quality to it.
Well, very good.
I mean, there's some funny stuff, but it's also about father-son relationships, and yeah, I love the film. It's one of my modern favorites. I think it's the best thing Tim Burton ever did.
You know, perhaps you go a little deeper than I do. By the way, my visual pabulum, either tonight or later on tonight, because I don't go to bed for 3, might be Elvira's only movie. Now that's a hoot. You talk about a camp. That is wonderful.
No Halloween screening at Shea Jim of the original Nosferatu?
No. I've seen that thing so many times. I mean, Murnau did the best he could, but I mean, that was just there you go.
Well, you know, I saw.
If you want to read about him, you ought to read Hollywood Babylon by Kenneth Anger.
That's a brilliant book.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
No, there's okay. So you know that scene where the shadow of Nosferatu is going up the stairs? You know what I'm talking about?
Uh huh.
I just saw that the other day, and I flashed on something. You know, all these little Easter eggs and little homages that happen. The same concept is replicated in a Warner Brothers cartoon.
Look, all the technical stuff that was developed in pre-Hitler Germany, they did wonderful things with film. I mean, Berlin or UFA Studios, or it could have been UFA. I'm not sure which one it was. I know the Nazis took that one over. But anyway, it was the cinematic capital of the world. I mean, they had directors there who were doing stuff, and Hollywood hitched on to that, and it was to their advantage. It really was. I mean, Hitler was the best friend they ever had because he sent most of those people packing, and we got all their prodigy.
So we've got question coming from Marty. What does Jim think of Werner Werner Herzog's version of Nosferatu. Have you ever seen that?
I may have, but I just don't recall it. I'm sorry. Sorry, my friend.
Modern updated version, but yeah.
It just hasn't come to mind. I'm sorry. The wheels just don't click on that one. I'm sure they will later on after I get off the program and stuff, but right now I just can't remember it, but I'm sure it was quite good.
Well, speaking of horrors, okay, and this, you know, this is nightmare-inducing. Flavio just reminded me, if you go to YouTube, there is video of Giuliani in drag and Trump smooching.
Well, at least I wouldn't have to take my.
I mean, if that doesn't bring out the Colonel Kurtz in you, the horror.
Listen, let me hit you with two others, and these are like grade B, but they will send you out of your chair. Okay.
All right.
And you're gonna want Agnes. You're gonna get Agnes back there with you before you watch them. One is called Joyride, and the other is called Vacancy. Now, those two will definitely take the lead out your pencil.
Scare the living bejesus right out of you, will they?
Well, it was just, I mean, I was sitting here like, duh, I can't believe this. And they're just two low-grade horror movies, and I happened to see them late night, and I said, oh, my Lord, I had to grab Rufus and hold on to him.
See, that's a funny thing about me, and, I mean, I love movies. I've never been a big fan of the so-called horror genre, but it depends on how you define it. You know, slasher movies, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween, all of that stuff does absolutely nothing for me. On the other hand, Psycho, you know, things that are suspenseful, I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely okay with that. But the stuff that involves, you know, just sort of gratuitous attempts to spook the shit out of you, not me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I tell you one thing, Tab Hunter told Tony Perkins they were very good friends. And he told him not to take the part in that movie, that it would typecast him, but it damn near did.
Oh, it did, yeah.
And I actually saw him in the International Grocery Store in New York City.
Tony Perkins or Tab Hunter?
Tony Perkins.
Okay. Yeah, they later cast him as Jimmy Pearsall in Fear Strikes Out, and yeah, that didn't salvage matters much as far as he got typecast.
But he was a very interesting person. He really was, and you know, I didn't say anything to him. Nobody else did too, but he looked just the same, just a pair of jeans, dark glasses, sneakers, and I was afraid about it. I said, she said, just be quiet. I said, okay. And he went his way. That's the thing about New York City. You can walk the streets, you can run all the city by
it. And you're only a real New Yorker if you've got the common decency to leave them alone.
Exactly. Well, listen, it's been real talking to you and all that stuff, but those two films, Armenia and Breached, they're damn good films.
Okay,
well, slashers. I mean, I just can't recommend anything that more. I mean, the only thing I've recommended more since I've been talking over this program is Cole Porter.
Cole Porter and the occasional John Waters film.
True. Yes, indeed. And by the way, have you seen It's a Dirty Shame?
No.
You need to see that. Oh, my God, that's wonderful.
Some of these I'm going to wait till Agnes gets home.
Why?
Well, just because we enjoy them more together. What was that last John Waters? Crybaby.
That wasn't the last one. I mean, that,
no, but,
because,
yeah.
Yeah.
One of the later ones. on what was the one where, Kathleen Turner, the murderer.
Oh, Serial Mom.
Serial Mom, yeah.
With Sam Waterston.
Yeah,
Sam Waterston said he had no idea that it would be that kind of movie or he would have signed on for it.
Well, that one line in Serial Mom, you know I hate the brown word.
Or when she kicks her shit and kills Patricia Patty Hearst, who's one of his regular films. She almost kills her a phone booth for wearing white after Labor Day. It's just too much. But like I say, there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Well,
but,
like I said, those lines just stick with you. Every now and then, somebody will look at Agnes and say, "You're a hard woman, Ramona Ricketts."
That's it. That's a copy. And here's one more. Did you ever see Lonesome Cowboys by Andy Warhol?
No.
There is one scene in there where Viva or Ultraviolet, I can't remember. It's been years since I've seen this film. And these guys are trying to rape her, and she just looks up around this crowd of men who are attacking her, and she just looks and says, "One more impertinence, and the fuck is off."
Jesus, Andy Warhol. Jim, have yourself a good evening. We'll probably cross paths again for Halloween night.
Well, I've got a new Dyson broom. It's electric.
Plug it up. Make sure it's got a good charge on it.
Oh, don't you worry. Bye-bye, then.
Bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from not too far from here. Halloween is one of his favorite holidays. I don't know where the program went. You tell me. A minute ago, I started the intro music, and then boom, done, gone. So it looks like we will not be having a fundraising-free Halloween program. We will have instead $320 to raise to finish the month. Oh, good. We'll sweat the end of the month. Yay. Wouldn't be the horn if we weren't. That being the case, I hope you'll be around for Halloween. I don't know. I'm going to find something to read or something like that. I wish I had a costume to get into, but I don't. I could put on a pair of jeans and a nice pair of shoes and like a button down Oxford and pretend I'm a real live honest to God for profit radio host. I could do something like that. Yeah. Or maybe wrap a few pillows around me and put a polo shirt over it and stick a cigar in my mouth and talk like this for the next hour. And, you know, I could do it, be Rush Limbaugh. How's that? Yeah. Right. Maybe. No, because everybody would turn the program off. Okay. So out of here. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you who support the program. Thanks to everyone who listens to the program for sharing your precious finite time in this conversation. Thanks to our all volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and to Steve from Georgia Stan in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.